Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
You know, it seems like every day I'm getting another message in my inbox or another piece of spam mail that is threatening with doom and gloom for tomorrow, telling me that everything is going to collapse, the dollar is going to be worthless, and what gold bullion I need to invest in, and what food source I need to stockpile tons of, because I need to be afraid that there's not going to be any food tomorrow. I need to be afraid that everything is going to collapse right around the corner. Well, it may collapse. But did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his famous Sermon on the Mount, strictly forbade his believers from having fear about tomorrow? He told us not to worry or fret about whether we would have food to eat or clothes to wear. He said that we need to look at the flowers of the field and at the little birds. They don't fret over what's going to happen tomorrow, and the Lord takes care of them. And his message was, are we not more important than they are? I'm not ignorant of all of the danger that is lurking in the economies of the world. I'm not ignorant of all the slaughter that's going on by militant Islamics in ISIS and Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda. I'm not ignorant of the threat of the world's number one state sponsor of terror, Iran, getting a nuclear weapon. But in spite of all of those dangers, I choose to trust in God for tomorrow. Now, someone may ask, but if you're trusting in God for tomorrow, why are you so passionate about America standing with Israel? Why are you so passionate about contacting our elected leaders to work to make sure that Iran does not get nuclear weapons? Why do you care? Why do you strive and give effort to that? It's because I believe that even though God has tomorrow in his hand, each one of us is going to answer to him for what we worked toward and what we strived to prevent. Nevertheless, I trust in God to take care of his people, regardless of whether calamity happens or not. Coming up in just a few moments, we will have the continuation of a message that I delivered in our local sanctuary at Christian Apostolic Church titled Abundance of Rain. But first, another great hit song from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their album Breathe In, the name of this song is Great I Am.
I wanna be close, close to your side, so heaven is real. Death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, the great I Am. Who is worthy? None beside.
And now part two of the message we began airing last week, entitled Abundance of Rain.
Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If we take a recluse attitude and we refuse to speak up with leadership in this hour, and we just back into a corner and say, well, if they want to be sheeple and if they want to follow into wickedness and they want to lead America into ensconcing sin into our laws, then just let them do it. Then you will suffer when the land suffers because of God's hand of protection being lifted. There came a time after 3 years when God got ready to bring about a powerful victory. God, it's the order of events is interesting. God said to Elijah, go show yourself to Ahab. I'm going to send rain. This is the first thing. After 3 years, go show yourself to Ahab. I'm going to send rain. It has gotten so bad that it's not only affecting the poor people now, it's now affecting the rich people. And even in the king's palace where there is wealth and opulence, the drought is beginning to have an effect. And it so happened that King Ahab said to his servant Obadiah, he said, let's go to everywhere where there used to be a spring, everywhere where there used to be a brook, and let's scour the land and see if maybe we can bring home just enough grass that we found growing somewhere in a crag under a rock that we can feed something to our animals so that we don't have to start slaughtering our animals because of this drought. And so they got out a map, and the king said, I'll take my guys and go this way. You take these guys and you cover this territory. And so Obadiah is out with some guys, and they are going to everywhere that there used to be a brook, everywhere there used to be a creek, everywhere there used to be a spring. They're taking every little blade of grass, trying to keep from slaughtering the animals. Let me just mention to you, folks, there's something wrong with someone when they care more about the death of an animal than they do the death of a human. I saw a sign the other day, and it had a picture, a drawing of a panda bear. And the panda bear said, pretend the babies are panda bears and save them. It is sad. We have people that on one day they will stand and chant, protect freedom of choice to murder babies by abortion. And then on the next day, they'll go to a different protest and chant, we've got to stop these porpoises from being slaughtered. There's something wrong when somebody's value system is protect the animals. Who cares what happens to the people, but protect the animals. So Obadiah, he's got his guys out here and he's looking for grass. And all of a sudden he looks up and he sees Elijah. And he said, oh my Lord, is that you, sir? And he said, it is. I've come to reveal myself to Ahab. Go tell Ahab that I am here. And Obadiah said, oh my Lord, what have I done that you've decided you want to hand me over to Ahab to murder me? There is not a city state around here. There's not a nation state around here. There's not a warring tribe around here. There's not any kind of people group around here that Ahab hasn't sent messengers saying, is Elijah in your territory? And every time one of them said no, he made them swear that they couldn't find you. And he said, I don't know where the Lord will take you if I walk away, but I'll go tell Ahab and the Spirit of the Lord will carry you somewhere, and Ahab will come back. He won't be able to find you, and he'll put me to death. He said, don't you know who I am? I have served the one true God, the Yahweh God, the I Am God. I've served that God from my youth up. I'm the one who, when Jezebel was slaying the prophets of the one true God, I'm the one that hid 100 of them in two caves, 50 in each cave. I'm the one who took bread and water to them. Don't make Ahab kill me. And the man of God said to him, as surely as the Lord God lives, I will reveal myself to him. I'm not going anywhere. Go tell him I'm here. And so Ahab comes. And Ahab says, is it you that troubles Israel? Is that you, O troubler of Israel? He said, I'm not the one that troubles Israel. You are the one who troubles Israel. And he says, here's what we're going to do. I want you to gather all of Israel. And I want you to gather all of those prophets of Baal that put their feet under your table at your wife's table in the palace. And I want you to get all those prophets of that false god, Asherah, that they eat at your table in your palace. I want you to gather all Israel and don't you leave out those false prophets. And we are going to get together and God is going to solve this once and for all. I would imagine that Ahab was willing to participate because he thought it was going to work out in his favor. I mean, surely he's got numbers on his side. There was what, 450 of the prophets of Baal and how many of the prophets of Asherah? And he's got numbers on his side. And besides, the sheeple are already following him and his wife. He thinks it's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a wonderful occasion for him. He's going to show up. There's going to be all the sheeple willing to follow him and all the prophets that are following him and all these people are on his side and one little prophet of Yahweh on the other side. So he calls the people together. And when the people gather and the false prophets are there, the man of God says, how long will you halt between two opinions? How long will you walk like a cripple, hesitating between two opinions? He says, if the Lord God is God, that means if you read that and you see small caps of Lord, that means that the name Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton name was spoken. He says, if Yahweh is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And the people didn't answer a word. It was as though faintly in the background something went bah. And the faith of God came on Elijah. Why would it not? He already stood up and obeyed the word of the Lord and said, there's going to be no rain. That was 3 years earlier. There's not been a drop of rain in 3 years. Why would he not trust God? And so he said, here's what we're going to do. Bring two bulls. We're going to try to have a couple of barbecues here. He said, you guys can go first because there's a bunch of you. He said, you got your altar there. I notice the altar of the one true God is in ruins. But you got your altar looking all spiffy. I don't know which one of you knocked our altar over, but our altar's a mess. But your altar looking pretty good. Won't you put some wood on your altar, cut up your bull, put your bull on your altar, but no fire. What I want you to do is, I want you to call out on your God, and I want your God to set it on fire. Take as long as you like. And then I am going to come after you and I'm going to cut up my bull and I'm going to put it on an altar over here and I'm going to ask my God. And then he looked at the people and he said, let the God who answers by fire be the God. And the people finally spoke up. And they said, what you're saying sounds good to us. We're ready to see a pyrotechnic display. And by the way, there's going to be some barbecue left over when we're done. We like this. We like this prophet. You know, there's some people, they'll come to church when there's a dinner. Yeah, they come for the ribs. They come for the barbecue. There's some people come because they see a pretty girl. Handsome guy. Tell you what, you need to come to church for more than that. But these people said, listen, this is like WWF SmackDown. We're fixing to see a contest between the Yahweh God and the Baal and Asherah gods. When we were kids, we used to watch that wrestling stuff. Somebody was cracking a joke the other day. Somebody mentioned wrestling. He said, oh, that stuff's real. Of course, he was being facetious. And Elijah waxed bold. The Bible says that the false prophets, they started shouting to their God. They started pleading to their God. They started doing little Baal rain dances. And they started doing all kind of little Asherah fire dances. And And as the manner of their custom was, they started cutting themselves. I'm going to tell you young people something. It's always been the demonic and the false influence of false gods that leads people to cut themselves. Don't get involved in the nonsense of cutting yourself. The Bible says they started cutting themselves, and the Bible says, and the blood flowed. Only it wasn't the bull's blood when the Bible mentioned this. It was the human blood. There is a wickedness in this land where we will break the bank to stop owls from being killed, but we're chanting for the murder of babies, and the human blood is flowing. They cut themselves and the blood is flowing. And Elijah's having a field day. He's strong in faith. And he says, oh, cry out, cry aloud. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe his cell phone battery died. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he's got a cold and he can't help you today. Come on, wake him up. He's taking a nap. Shout louder. And they did this all day long. And then the Bible says it came the time of the evening sacrifice. You ever seen somebody that the only way they would worship God is if the Lord picked them up and shook them like a rag doll? But then you'll see somebody that they've lived a life of worship to God. And God doesn't have to shake them like a rag doll. And I love, sometimes you'll see people. There was this one precious colored sister. She was a beautiful lady of God. The song would be going. She would get up from her seat and she would just calm as you please. She'd walk down the aisle, get to where she had some room. And once she had some room, she'd just start doing her dance. God didn't have to shake her like a rag doll to get her to worship God. It's so amazing. He just walks over calmly. He starts butchering up the bull. He picks 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of Israel. He starts laying the wood in order. It's all very calm. Then he gets out a shovel. And he starts digging a trench in that parched earth. It's real easy to dig in because the earth's so dry. He digs a trench all the way around that altar. I did a little research and they say, based on, Bible scholars think that trench, based on the description, they think it was big enough to hold about 13 quarts. He gets it all done. He's carved up the meat. He's got the meat on the barbecue, as the Barbie, as the Australians say. And then he says, you, go get some big jars of water and pour it on here. I can see. By the way, did you know the Bible says that while they were doing all their thing, the people kind of got bored and stopped even paying attention to them? The people were just like, how's your mama? They're over here like, ah, send the fire. They're like, how's your mama doing? Yeah. How's your nephew doing? But the Bible indicates that when he called them near and he started doing this, the people came around and they became enthralled. He said, go get me some jars of water. Now it's been a drought for 3 years. And I can see people going, I fancy that water to slake my thirst. He's pouring it out. What's the matter with him? He's wasting that water. He poured water on the sacrifice until the sacrifice soaked it up and the wood soaked it up. And he said, bring me some more water. He poured some more water on it. That water ran down and the wood soaked it up and the stones soaked it up. He said, bring me some more water. And the people are like, how much water is he going to pour? That water is precious. What's the matter with him? But he knows something they don't know. The Bible said he poured water on until the water soaked the sacrifice. It soaked the wood, it soaked the rocks, and it even filled up the trench. And then he stood and he prayed one 63-word prayer. And the Bible just says it this way. And the fire of God fell. And the fire of God licked up the sacrifice and licked up the wood and licked up the stones and licked up the water that was in the trench. And then he looks at Ahab and there's a little glimmer in his eye. And Ahab's in a panic. And all the false prophets are remembering, hey, wait a minute. These people's law tells them to slay false prophets. And they're starting to back up. And the man of God looks at the people. Only the sheeple are listening to a different leader now. And he says, don't let a one of these false prophets escape. And so they caught them. And they took them down there near the river. The Bible says, and he had them taken down near the river and slaughtered. I think the King James words it in a way that makes you think that the prophet Elijah actually was the one who killed them. But if you study it carefully, Bible scholars tell us that the people were obeying Elijah's command in the killing of these prophets. You could say Elijah had them killed in the sense that he was overseeing the execution. And they executed those false prophets. And one more time, the man of God looks at a wicked king and says, go on, have a party, eat and drink. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. Very important words. He prophesied 3 years ago, there's not going to be any rain unless at my word. And now it's his word. There's fixing to come rain. Ahab goes up to eat and drink. He's going to go ahead and enjoy the party. He's kind of glad they're killing prophets and not killing kings. He's kind of glad it's only Asherah prophets and Baal prophets and not a wicked king that's being killed. He's kind of studying the situation, seeing, are the winds of change going to get nasty for the king here? So he's kind of trying to eat his meal while watching his back, and he's trying to kind of enjoy the food while trying to make sure nobody's sneaking up on him. And then the man of God goes up to a prayer meeting, and he kneels with his head down between his knees, and he tells his servant, go out and look toward the sea. Come back and tell me what you see. Nothing. Go again. Nothing. Go again. Nothing. Man, he's got to go down the mountainside and look and come back up over here again. I imagine that servant was going, you think you could get the timing on this straight so I could only have to go one time? Kind of like the children of Israel. You think we could get the timing on this so we only had to march around Jericho one time? What's the deal with this repeat stuff? And so finally he comes back and he says, you know, he said this time was different, but it ain't much. But if I stand and hold my hand up, that's about the size I see. I see a cloud coming from the sea. It's about the size of a man's hand. The prophet jumps up from his prayer meeting. He says, go tell Ahab to get to Jezreel, and he better hurry, or the wheels of his chariot are going to get stuck in the mud because the rain's coming. And while he's trying to get word to Ahab, suddenly the sky is black with clouds, and the rain begins to fall. I'm telling you, folks, rain does not symbolize judgment. Rain symbolizes blessing. Yes. I want you to know there is every reason for you to quake in fear. Putin is trying to put together the old Soviet Union. You need to realize who he is and what his backing is. He's introduced a new monetary system to exchange with the world between other countries, trying to supplant the dollar as the international means of exchange. And we are watching America swirling around the drain because of her wickedness and her immorality. And it would be easy for us to quake in fear and say, it's bad. But I'm telling you, I feel in the Holy Ghost, there is a sound of an abundance of rain. And in the midst of all the bad that is going to happen, God is going to bless his people. I want to ask you to stand with me right now and let's give God a great shout of praise. There's not one shred of evidence in the economy that makes me say this. It's the Spirit of the Lord. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. There's nothing I see in the administration of the president that causes me to say it. It's the Holy Ghost that causes me to say, I know it's been bad, but I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Oh, come on, let's give him praise. try it again. God is good. And all the time. Sister Bargo is watching this right now. She's tied in through the FaceTime back there. Y'all can wave at her. Turn around and wave at her. We love you. Hey, folks, her doctor's report doesn't give her any reason to rejoice. But I'm telling you, if you turn your eyes off the doctor's report and look on the great physician, you can have reason for rejoicing. Because there's a sound of an abundance of rain. You elders, go and get your daddy by the hand, one on each side. I'm telling you, in the natural, when those doctors look at his eyes, there is no reason in that doctor's report to rejoice. But I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. Somebody say, let it rain, Lord. We live in a world where people's minds have been poisoned against the truth, and the devil tries to tell us that nobody in America wants the Holy Ghost. Nobody in America wants the truth. We just met a lady that God spoke to her to attend a church, one of our churches. She walked for an hour and a half to get to church. Don't tell me nobody wants this. There are hungry people out there, and God's gonna send revival. There's a sound of an abundance of rain. There is one powerful key. There is one powerful key that everyone in that great hall of faith in Hebrews 11, there's one powerful key they all have in common. They moved in obedience when the evidence didn't yet support what God was telling them. And I'm asking you tonight, if you're willing to move in obedience to the Word of God, regardless of what the report looks like, I want you to get somebody by the hand and say, come on, we're going to dance in advance because I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. That's it, Kyron. Go ahead and blow that trumpet.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.